My name is Andre, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Andre!
It's too many of y'all in here. First, I want to thank God for allowing me to be clean today. When Greg called me and said something to me about sharing at a convention, this is the first convention I've ever been asked to share at, and my immediate initial first thought is it's too big for me. And then I get here, and they say, well, who want to go first? And I look at how it's lined up, and I'm like, it looks like it's in divine order to me because I'm second. You know? And then I get in here, and I see who Janice is, because I heard the name, but I didn't recognize. But when I see who Janice is, I realize that this is somebody who I've always looked up to, because every time that I travel down the road to D.C., I see Janice, and no matter what meeting I went to, Janice was there. And then I get into this position, and I always share my meeting sitting down, because I like to stay in a position that's, like, humble, where I can, like, because I fear that if I stand up that I feel like I'm teaching, and that I'm up here, and you're down there. So I've always shared, so I've never stood up to share, and I've been clean 9 years. Yeah. So in thinking about the topic, extreme makeover. First of all, I thought my topic was total transformation for 2 weeks. And then I got my little sheet that said complete makeover. And just now I see this one says extreme makeover. All I can give is what God has given me. And I only can share my experience. And I'm really, 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 really nervous. Like when me and Janice prayed, I felt, you know, the calmness come. But as soon as we stopped praying and we came up here, the nervousness came back. And then we were talking and she did tell me, you know, that nervousness is what I feel every time God puts me in a position where I'm expected to do something that I, in my own mind, I don't believe that I'm capable of doing. When the miracle of God or the blessing of recovery or whatever my responsibility here is in the room of Narcotics Anonymous, whenever that position, when I'm put in a position to do what I'm supposed to do, I always feel less than. Look, I'm the kid, right, that grew up always comparing myself to everybody around me, and I was never good enough. I was never tall enough. I was too smart because where I grew up at, it was not cool to be smart. I was raised religiously, so it wasn't cool to be a church boy. I couldn't go out, couldn't have girlfriends, couldn't go to parties. It was like everything was so much different in my life. My life was like a box. Everybody looked like they was having fun. Everybody else was having a good time living life, and I couldn't experience that. I wanted so badly to be somebody other than Andre. I remember, like, my grandmother raised me and my two sisters. I have five sisters total and a brother, but I have a twin sister and an older sister. We got raised by my grandmother, but the rest of them got raised with my mother. From the time I was real little and I realized what the situation was, all I could think of, like, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me that I don't deserve or that I can't live with my mother? And then on top of that, right, I got this issue that I still haven't resolved to this day. Like, I didn't have a father in the house. I had a father figure. My grandfather was dead from the time I was a little kid. But when I got older and I realized that he was my grandfather, I wanted to know who my father was. And I remember at 6 years old, I remember, like, going to school, transferred to a different elementary school. They gave me the emergency card. I fill the emergency card out, and I tell the teacher, I don't have anybody's name to put in the spot for father. She said, go ask your grandmother. And I remember how excited I got inside, because I finally might be able to find out who this mystery is. And I remember running home, right? And it was almost a half a mile from my house. I remember running home, and I go to my grandmother, and I say, Grandma, I don't have a name to put in. And she told me to write unknown. From the time that I was born, my grandmother carried me to this place of worship on a pillow because we were so small. And from that time all the way up until I could remember, I was given these things called spiritual principles. I was taught these values and these standards by which I should live by, but they just didn't fit me because I didn't fit. When I started using drugs, I mean, look, I want to be a good boy. I want to be, like, obedient. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. But see, in the process of growing up, not feeling okay, living in fantasy, because I was the Indian, I was the knight in shining armor, I was the cowboy, I was the policeman, I was the firefighter, I was anything but Andre. Growing up like that, like by the time that I got here, I had already developed some skills. I could manipulate you with my smile because it's a nice smile. It's a disarming smile. I learned that if I put on the face that I'm doing what you want me to do, that even if I wasn't doing what you want me, if I made you believe I was doing what you wanted me to do, I could have my way. By the time I got to the drugs, right, the drugs, what they did for me is that made me just like you. I was no longer too short. I was no longer too smart. I was no longer as afraid. I was okay with being around you. Look, I had a whole lot of issues. I was no longer the kid that was molested. I was no longer the kid that desired men. I was no longer all of those things that society said made me a degenerate. When I put the drugs in me, I was just like you, and you loved me because I kept the drugs. When I found out all I needed to do was have some drugs and everybody flocked to me, I was in heaven. It was like zip. Liar, cheat, manipulator, thief. That was my hardest one to swallow, thief. I'm going to talk about that because that was my last day. That was my wake-up call when I realized I was a thief. Look, I'm going to talk about my last day using. I had some friends. We had been friends for 10 years. We used together. Me and the husband used together. The mother didn't use. The wife didn't use. I raised their children. They were white kids, and I really, really felt really good when I was in a market, and white kids be like, Uncle Andre, the attention I got from other white people when they heard these little white kids calling me Uncle Andre made me feel important. It made me feel really good because for some reason, the way society, the way I looked at society, the way I view society, it was like it was probably going to be better if I had been white, if I had not been black. Because it seemed to me in my thinking that life was so much better. It was so much easier. And then I get here and they right here with me. What I think I'm trying to get to is like that active change in my thinking and my behavior. Boy, that word extreme keep coming in my mind because see that wasn't even in none of my like extreme. But look, my last day using, right, they leave me at their house. They say they're moving to this place and moving to Eastern Shore. They coming over here. And they want me to come with them. And look, I had been using for 10 years wanting to stop, and I couldn't. I had gone to a religious program in Chicago, and I put on my former armor of God, and I came home believing that I wasn't ever going to use again. And I used, and then in my thinking, not even God could help me stay clean. So it's hopeless now. I don't have any fight. I'm going to use until the day that I die. And I remember that last day. I remember they dropped me off on this corner in Baltimore. And they was like, bye, Uncle Andre. See you later. And they drove up the road, and I went and I copped. And I remember how small it was, but how good it was. And the thing that made me not like you, the thing that made me not an addict is because in my mind, I didn't steal. I don't care how much drugs I did. I don't care how many times I might have lied and got something from you. In my mind, I did not steal. But when them people came back from Eastern Shore to find that new house, everything in the house was gone. Dirt bikes, jewelry. If I could have sold the animals in the house, I would have sold the animals. So it's me in the morning. It's me and these hungry animals. Because, see, there's no dog food. Look, it's just me and the hungry animals, and I want to run. But I'm tired. I'm at another bottom, at a bottom again. I've been wanting to stop using for so long, and now my using has culminated into this massive feeling of nothingness. No spirit, no desire, no will, not even will of my own. It's like I didn't want to do nothing. And I remember the gas and electric company came and they disconnected at the pole. And that was God showing up, because when they got home, it was dark. They could not see the total damage that I had done. But they could see that the TV wasn't there. The VCRs wasn't there. They could see, you know, that the house was in shambles. Somehow I ended up in this shelter. And the shelter had a program, and they required that I go to 12-step meetings. Now, I remember being in that religious program, and they telling me 12-step meetings don't work. Because I was like, well, what's a 12-step program? And they was like, oh, it don't work. All you need is this. And see, I wanted to believe, because see, and when I am in a state of desperation, anything that gives me hope, anything that makes me believe in, maybe I can get better, maybe something can change, I grasp onto it. Like, they just don't get high for 3 days and you'll be all right. Substitute one for another and you'll get better. All of those pieces of information came at times when I felt like I was at my lowest and I wanted to get better. I wanted to change something. But look, Janice talked about something called truth. Truth is the only thing that, for me, actively makes the changes. Look. I come into this program, right, and I heard you say things like you never have to use again. I didn't believe it. I heard things like, look, there is a better way. I tried. I tried all of the things that I knew how. I tried things people told me. I tried God, and he didn't work. How then can a group of people who have the same problem I have help me stay clean? How can you do that when God couldn't even help me stay clean? So I'm in here with my big black bag of secrets. I don't want you to know that I'm a gay man. I don't want you to know that I'm afraid. I don't want you to know that I don't want you to know that I did what was done to me when I was a counselor in a camp, that I touched some children because I had been touched when I was a child. I didn't want to tell nobody about none of that. Secrets kill. You kept telling me things like, look, if you keep it inside, you won't change. The same person will use again. All I knew is that my last day using, I wanted God to come down and take all my breath away. Just let me stop hurting. Just let me stop feeling. So I subscribe to this thing y'all call the program. I'm going to give it a shot because I don't have nothing else left. I start going to meetings because it's a requirement of the shelter that I was staying in, not because I wanted to. I started taking suggestions very slowly because it's like everybody around me that started taking suggestions, things started getting better for them. So I started doing the same thing. It's almost as if I was acting as if, because still somewhere inside it wasn't registering as being the truth, because in the back of my mind it was always the same thing I hear every time I get up to do a meeting: you're not good enough, you don't have anything to share, this is not going to work for you. Look, I get a sponsor, I get a home group, I start getting numbers. It's always dry up here. I start getting phone numbers and I start calling people, right? And they say, you got to talk to people about stuff. Look, but the thing that really, really scared me is that, like, when I asked somebody that was new in recovery, just like me, well, what do I have to do with this sponsor? It's like, oh, you got to tell your sponsor everything. I ain't going to be able to do that. I ain't going to be able to do that. But look, I stand here today, and this is, look, I stand here today. I am proud of what I've been through. I'm proud of who I am today. That's something I never had. Pride in just being clean. Pride in just being able to stand here as a father who raised a son to be a man. Not to be a gay man. Not to be a heterosexual man. I raised my son to be a man because through this program, through this process, see, look, I didn't come back into his life until he was like 16. But at 16, I had a couple years clean and I had learned some things. Y'all had instilled some spiritual principles in me. I hate this crying thing too. Like, cause I look. It's something about the spirit when it wells up, right? I let it do what it do, right? Because I understand today, like all of my life, I tried to hide who I am. Look, crying does not mean that I'm gay. It does not mean that I'm soft. What it means is that I feel. The extreme makeover that I experienced in the room of Narcotics Anonymous really has nothing to do with how I look. It has nothing to do with what I have, the things. All it, look, it's about what starts inside. They say it's an inside-out program. So what happened when I started subscribing to the steps, when I started sharing my experience, strips, and hope, when I started raising my hand saying I realize I'm on my third step, but I can't make a decision because I don't trust God. How can I even make the decision to turn my will and my life over when I don't trust him? He hates me. My thinking. How do you change that? How do you get better with that? You raise your hand and you tell people what's going on. You tell people how you're feeling. And look, a lady showed up and she said, we need to talk. When we left the park that we went to, man, I had a God in my understanding. I didn't even have to change God's. All I had to change was my perception. Come on, man. Once I was able to open up, like open-mindedness, willingness, honesty, being honest and able to open my mind and allow somebody to come in and think that maybe possibly somebody else's perception of what reality is could help me, I was able to like get a relationship. Look, and it wasn't like all of a sudden I got this God and I'm depending on him and yeah, God, you got me. It wasn't like that. Even now, after working with some sponsees, even now with like being around here for a while and helping people, sometimes it's like, God, I don't really want you to handle this one. The words that I came into this meeting with before he got up here and said extreme makeover was complete. And the word complete didn't fit for me because complete sometimes in my thinking means finished. But this is not a thing that we finish. This is like a process. The word total is more appropriate because total is the all of the ingredients that make up the whole. And see, all of these ingredients like the rooms, the fellowship, the program, the steps. Look, everything that I'm talking about is what makes a complete change, makeover, transformation. All of the words fit. Mm-mm-mm. I came down here with nothing in my mind, right? Because, like Janice shared, like, if I think about what I'm going to share, nothing I think about comes out. And if I think about what I'm going to share, that's me deciding how the meeting going to go. I expected to get up here and still be really, 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 really nervous. And I am still really, 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 really nervous, but... But there's some help in here. See, I sit down and I look at the faces in this room. And what I try to tell myself is they are me. You are them. Look, I ran into this lady. I didn't even run into her. I'm walking and I see this lady. She smile, I smile. Then I see again, I smile, she smile. And then she was like, why do you keep smiling? And I was like, that's what I do now. Because I'm... Because I'm happy. Look, it's a spirit in the fellowship that, look, no longer am I that person who don't want you to get close. I really am okay with letting people know I like to feel people hug me. I'm all right with that. I'm okay with saying, look, I love you. How can I help you? I got a sponsee brother who is like, one of my defects of character is that, I'm a people pleaser to the extent that I would allow you to have your way, do whatever you wanted, and I wouldn't say nothing. But I have a sponsee brother, right, that speaks his mind. He stops you at the door. He lets you know right where he at. And so I start to glean some of that from him because I need to put that into who I am. I have another sponsee brother that's really, really confident about who he is. And see, I've always been that shaky child that if you really know who I am, you're not going to like me. So that's when that people pleaser come in and I'm going to be whatever you want me to be, say whatever you want me to say, do whatever you want me to do. But see, he is confident in who he is, and I try to glean that from him. What I'm talking about is all of the ingredients, that therapeutic value of one addict helping another goes further than you just sitting down with me and talking with me. Because when I open my mind and I open my eyes and I see all of the different qualities that each of us have, there are some things that I need from you, and there's something I must have that somebody needs from me, because you got me standing up here sweating bullets, right? Extreme makeover, man. I would never have believed while I was stuck. I remember sitting down with my mother. We used together, and I remember cutting drugs on this book, and we both crying because we couldn't stop. I remember saying, I don't know how. I don't know what we should do. I don't know what we can do. I remember waiting once I found out that I was HIV positive in 1991. I waited to die. And because I felt like, you know, I was told that, like, you only live 5 years. And I waited for 6 years to die, and it never happened. It's 20 years later. Look, I didn't make a conscious decision to wait for God, but it happened. Somehow God knew that I was going to get to a place where I was going to be able for him to get in. You know, in spite of all of the religious upbringing that I had, in spite of all of the stuff and the searching that I did, there would come a time in my life where the only thing that could help me would be God. The God in people, the God through people. That's what helped me. That's what gets me to my place where I can continue to make this makeover. Where I can continue to allow God to do what he's going to do with me. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know where I'm going to be at in 10 years, 5 years, 4 years. But I know where I would like to be. I would like to still be right here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Because look, my life... And it's not better just because of the things. When I go in my house and I close my door, there are times when I'm in there and I don't turn nothing on and I have this thing they call peace. I have this thing that they call peace. And I remember when I first came around, they was talking like, you're going to have some peace and serenity. And I'm not sure what none of that was, right? Because my life was always chaos and confusion. It's like it was about what can I get, what can I do, what do I have to do? In the beginning, peace was boredom. Newcomer, in the beginning, peace is boredom. I'm bored. I don't have nothing to do. Hold on. Keep coming back. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. Because when the extreme makeover comes, that boredom will be peace. Oh my God. Look, there's a thing. After doing some step work and after being clean for 9 years, I still doubt who I am. I still sometimes want to revert back to my old thinking. And I understand that in doing step work, when I ask God to remove some stuff, remove means to take from one place and put it in another. It does not destroy it. It does not make it disappear. So I still am constantly plagued with mistakes, bad decisions. But it's mostly when I don't rely on the fellowship, when I don't rely on my network, when I say I'm not going to talk to nobody about this one. The change that happens in this room is through my active participation and my willingness to let somebody help me. And look, I couldn't understand how help me, help me, help me, an extreme makeover or total transformation or complete makeover. I couldn't understand how they were like connected until I sat down and I started listening to Janice share. And I was like, God got me right where he's supposed to have me. Without help, without what Janice shared about before I got up here, there is no complete makeover. There is no extreme makeover. There is no total transformation. Without my ability or my willingness to become humble and allow people to come in and help me, allow a God of my understanding to be formed. Look, my relationship with God right now, it's like the jackpot player, like, God, please help me. I got 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Wow, that was easy. All right, look, all right. It's really important, like in the literature, it talks about the newcomer being the most important person at any meeting. And what I'm starting to believe and what I'm starting to realize and what I'm starting to understand is that any given time, I can be the newcomer. At any given time, the person that I look up to that has a whole lot of clean time can be that newcomer. So in my extreme makeover, one of the end results is in trying to help somebody, it's about allowing myself to like not be so consumed with me so that I can feel the spirit that says I need help, because we can't always say it. There is an ability, and I've always had it, where I can sense that somebody might need a hug, where I can sense that somebody might, but look, everybody has it. I am spirit wrapped in flesh. You are spirit wrapped in flesh. The extreme makeover is trying to allow me or create in me less flesh and more spirit. My name is Andre. Thanks for letting me share that.